Hello and welcome to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'm one of your hosts today, Mills Grant.
And I'm Scott Beard.
And it is an absolute delight to be here, is it not?
It is.
Wow. Spring has sprung, wouldn't you say?
I would.
A little more energy there, Scott. I mean, spring has sprung.
It has.
Okay, you sound like you're down, like you're worn out, like it's been busy or something like that.
Oh, no, it's fine.
Not only has spring sprung, but the rain has quit. The weather is milder. So it's getting busy, wouldn't you say?
It is. I would say.
A little bit busy?
A little bit busy. And it's been windy this week, too.
It has been windy.
It has.
A little bit of drying condition, right?
That's where I was leading to.
Yeah. Before we get into that, we want to invite everyone that anytime during the week, if you'd like to visit us or find us, feel free at www.carolinafreshfarms.com. There you will find a link to all of our retail stores, their hours, maps, Scott's email, all that good stuff. You're shaking your head like you want more people to come out, right?
It's what I want. Yes,
yeah,
I do.
Fill up the parking lot. Especially on a Saturday morning. You know, all stores are open Saturdays from 8 till noon. It's a great time to pick up a few things, right?
It is.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, so we want to see it. Pack the parking lot, correct?
You're going to have to use the side parking lot over there in front of the Mexican restaurant.
But that's okay.
That's fine.
Pack the parking lot,
that's
right?
That's it.
So, Scott, you know, you alluded to it. You said something about it's windy. So, you know what it's time for? What's it time for? Come on, where is it? Where's the drum roll?
Oh.
You're not going to believe what's back. It is time for that weekly drought report, the drought update for the great state of South Carolina. Believe it or not, we have really haven't visited this much lately, have we?
We haven't.
The whole drought condition and, and whatnot, what's going on in the state. Some things have kind of crept in that I think we need to be aware of, because some things are going on in the environment right now. The seasons are beginning to change. Mm-hmm. It was last week, first day of spring. Mm-hmm. I think we're in spring now until, what, June? That's hard to believe. We have such a long spring. But if you really sit there and you think back for most of the winter, we had a lot of rain. Would you care to guess how much?
65?
No, that was for the year.
The year
total in 18 was 70 inches. Close. In Greenville, it was a little bit less in the Columbia market. But nonetheless, we were well above average for both of those markets,
yes,
or really in the entire state. Since November the 1st, this past week, I spoke with my good friend Don Garrett, the Walker Golf Course.
Okay.
At Clemson, has Diamonds Orchard Greens. Fantastic greens, by the way, folks. Over there this past week and the week before, greens are in great shape. Don had to do had a meeting with the members, and he likes to give them a little update. So he did a little research. Our good friend Chuck Conley at Smithfields had done some research about 2 weeks earlier and told me this. Since November the 1st until last week, in the upstate of South Carolina, would you care to guess the amount of rainfall?
From November 1st.
Now, we average 50 inches a year, thereabouts, okay? In the upstate, we're probably about 42, 43 inches, if memory serves me correct, in the Columbia market. But since November the 1st, so we got November to December, January, February, March, 4 months.
20-ish.
Like 21, 28.
There was an ish in there.
There's an ish.
The ish goes from 1 to 9.
Okay, I'll tell you, because this is going to take a while if I don't tell you. 34 inches.
30-ish?
34 inches of rain, okay? Nearly 3 foot of rain since November the 1st. Here's the odd thing. I do my little thing. I type in. Google can be a wonderful thing, okay? Not always, but sometimes. I do my little thing. I go look up the USDA drought maps, state of South Carolina. Have one pulled up as of now, I think. 13% of our state population is now in drought. An additional 15% of our population is abnormally dry.
Mm-hmm.
A vast majority. It's all along the coast at this point. So we're talking from Horry County all the way down through Charleston County, into Beaufort, parts of Beaufort County, are actually in D1 moderate drought. As we move inland about 50 or 60 miles.
You got a little creeping coming in.
As we move inland, we're beginning to see Bamberg County, Collington County, Williamsburg County.
Edgefield?
We begin to see more of our abnormally dry conditions, which is still a stage of drought, D0. And then you're right, Edgefield County, abnormally dry. We have McCormick County, abnormally dry. So what you said is very much correct. With the wind, with the rain, I heard one day last week up at Kiwikee was talking with their assistant, and he'd heard on the radio that they were forecasting 9 days without rain. It was the longest stretch in like 6 months without rain in the state of South Carolina. Things are beginning to dry pretty quickly. The concern is, where are we now in the landscape? You know, how does this tie into where we are now
in transition.
The we're in transition. That's the key. That's the word I was looking for, transition. Our lawns are transitioning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our plants are beginning to transition. So we're in the midst of transition. Things are going from a dormant state where they were somewhat happy, and we're now going to a full growing state. It takes an awful lot of energy. That plant has saved energy all winter, correct?
Yes.
It's going to use that energy. It's going to begin to grow. As these grasses begin to transition, we may not be aware of it, and even our shrubbery. But we're in these abnormally dry areas. If it continues to creep up and west into the state of South Carolina, be on the lookout. You know, it's time. As a matter of fact, early this morning, I have not seen this in 4 or 5 months. I have an automated irrigation system. I don't mean automatic, where you set it to water every day for 5 minutes a zone like 90% of the population does, whether it's hot, whether it's cold, whether it's rainy, whether it's sunny, whether it's windy. I mean, automatic in the sense that my time clock actually is set up online, so it downloads data for my zip code or where I live, and it adjusts, and, you know, I go in and set it up with my soil profile, the type of crop I'm growing, so it adjusts my irrigation habits. I watched my irrigation run this morning for the first time I know in 6 months.
I haven't had mine on.
So things are beginning to dry. And it's something that we need to be aware of as we have these windy days. Although the weather's great, we think it's nice and mild, not terribly hot. I mean, you look today, 72, 73, 74, 75 degrees, depending on where you are in the state. Nice, beautiful day, but the little bit of wind kicking up doesn't seem that hot, but it can certainly dry things. We're still getting some frost as well. So
that's true.
We're kind of in that spring weather pattern, wouldn't you say?
I would.
You know, one day of frost.
It was yesterday morning, that's right.
And the morning before.
Yeah.
So all across the listenership, really. I mean, we've had several days of frost this past week. Looks like we may potentially get some more next week. It's going to cool down next week. It's going to be nice, mild this weekend, a little warmer, in the 50s at night, but back in the 30s next week. So we're definitely in this transitional period of time. And there's some things that, as we discussed today, some things perhaps we need to pay attention to. You know, first and foremost, what ties directly to these temperatures we're having is soil temperatures. Mm-hmm. And probably, you know, I asked you yesterday and again today, what are the most common questions coming in to the stores at this time?
Yeah. Is it too late for pre-emergent?
Yeah.
Is it too early for pre-emergent?
Yeah. Or what do I do about these weeds that are growing in my yard today? Right?
Yep.
Maybe, you know, as some think, perhaps it's goosegrass. It's too early, right? Oh, I knew I'd get a chuckle out of you. Our good friend Morgan, you know, apparently has a bumper crop of goosegrass, although his
brand
soil
new
temperature
lawn
is still at 58 degrees,
50, yeah.
You know, the five-day average. But it all comes back to soil temperatures when we talk about these weeds and this timing. Just a quick update, Scott. Five-day average, Greer, South Carolina, happens to be where I live. The five-day average this week, 54.8 degrees soil temperature. So we're still a little bit under where that crabgrass really wants to germinate or begins to germinate. In the Columbia market, if we just, you know, look at Columbia, South Carolina, the five-day average is 60.2 degrees. Now, that's a little more important because if you're in that Midland market, your five-day average has been right at where we begin to see crabgrass germinate, mm-hmm. right? Now, the interesting thing is if we look at the pest maps out there, the crabgrass that's out there, we're really not showing that on our pest outlook maps mm-hmm. as of this point. Now, we're showing it down in the coastal market, Charleston, Beaufort County,
yep.
you know, Somerville, that neck of the woods. We're beginning to show a lot of crabgrass germination, but as soon as we get two counties inland in the state, the soil temperatures are cooling off. We're not really seeing it, but I think you're going to begin to see that in the next week. So the customer that calls you and says, is it too late for pre-emergent? Almost is what I say. Almost. The Predimine product, man, if you don't get it out this weekend, I don't, you know, if you're in the upstate, I think you still got this weekend to get it out. If you're in the Midlands, you're probably past that point. But need not worry. We have a product that we can switch you to for that intermediate time right now, which is Dimension. Mm-hmm. Because Dimension has a little bit of post-emergent capability on crabgrass. So the Dimension product works fairly well on first to second, sometimes third leaf stage crabgrass. So even if you've got a little bit of germination, I know it's not beyond the second leaf stage at this point. I know, how can I say it, Morgan? I know you don't have goosegrass, okay, because the soil temperatures haven't been warm enough. Now, talking about goosegrass is one that germinates when it gets even warmer, like 65 to 70 degrees. So it comes after the crabgrass. So it's normally a June germination type weed, right?
Mm-hmm. But you get the crabgrass, then the nut's edge, and then the goose.
So crabgrass season is upon us, right? Mm-hmm. So we got to get it out. Now is the time to get the pre-emergent out. If you haven't done it, you've procrastinated. Now, here's the other thing, though, we got to watch, Scott, because when we talk about pre-emergence, what's the easiest way for a customer out there, our listener, to put pre-emergent in their lawn?
Broadcast it.
So it has to be on a granular, correct? Mm-hmm. So it's, in essence, a fertilizer. So what we prefer to sell this time of year for all the warm season lawns out there is a 007. We're merely using the potassium, that last number. You know, it goes NPK, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. So we're using a 007. We're using a potassium carrier, in essence, to help us broadcast the pre-emergent uniformly across the lawn, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is still a little bit early for a whole lot of fertilizer and nitrogen. I know it's tempting, right? We see a lot of people coming out to the store this time of the year. We get a lot of phone calls. I know it's tempting, but
hold tight.
Go to our website, look at our program. Any of our lawns, with the exception of cool season, any of the warm season lawns, we do not suggest fertilizer prior to mid-time of April.
Mm-hmm.
The reason being, Scott, when you put a product out, it immediately begins to degrade. You're going to irrigate. Hopefully we get rain for those of you that are abnormally dry or in drought. It begins to deteriorate. The plant cannot use it at this point. The grass is not fully green and growing.
I had a customer bring in a bag today, a blue bag. I'm not going to name the manufacturer. But for crabgrass, 29% nitrogen.
For a crabgrass preventative,
mm-hmm.
let me guess, on their Bermuda lawn right now.
It was.
Okay.
In February.
Maybe okay.
Right.
Maybe okay. But what happened this past week? We had two events, two mornings back to back. What mm-hmm. happened? We had
and
a heavy
warm
frost.
And then frost.
That's right. So we don't want to push these grasses any further or harder than we have to. We need to let Mother Nature kind of run
That's
its
the
course.
Key.
Let Mother Nature run its course. Let the grass transition itself. And then on the backside of transition, about halfway through that period, once we get 50% green or so in the lawn, once we get to mid-April, across this entire listening area, we're pretty much done. That's our last frost date, typically. You know, come April 1, which is coming up Sunday, right?
Monday.
That's when we begin to see at night the frost warnings come back. You know, they're not going to put a frost warning out in March because We're happy to have frost in March.
It happens every April.
Be aware of that. There's no sense of, number one, wasting product. Number two, let's be truthful. If you went out and fertilized your Bermuda this week and we had a frost a week from now, probably not going to cause irreparable damage. It's not going to be a long-term damage to the lawn, but you're wasting product. That's what it boils down to. Why do you want to waste product if you don't have to waste product? The plant can't utilize it. It's not growing. You know, as a matter of fact, I was talking at the farm and, you know, last week and really felt like last week was kind of our last hurrah. Boy, was I wrong, because we had two frosts this week. But as far as a hard freeze, I felt like the last hard freeze we had, which has been almost 2 weeks now, was pretty much it. And I made the comment at the farm that, hey, I think old man winter's gone, and this will probably be it. It's over with. We should start seeing more favorable weather. And we had that discussion. Well, I guess you want to fertilize soon. Nope. I want to wait to April the 15th. Even at our own sod farm, that's our target date, mid-April, to put the fertilizer out. That's when I know the plant can utilize it. That's when I know I can put it down, I can irrigate it in, and that nitrogen and that phosphorus will be there for that plant. You notice we suggest a 1-to-2-to-1 ratio for that first app of true fertilizer. The reason being, that phosphorus, that middle number, plant vigor, root growth. Plant vigor, root growth. Plant vigor. Have I said it enough?
One more time.
Plant vigor and root growth. Where do you think all of this energy, this plant's transitioning right now, where's all the energy coming from? If you got a Bermuda lawn, we got stolons, we got rhizomes, we got roots, and we got leaves, right? The leaves are brown.
Correct.
It's not storing energy. So it's all coming from stolons, rhizomes, roots, the crown of the plant, right? We're depleting all of that energy right now. That lawn is depleting that energy. What was stored from last year is beginning to deplete that. What typically happens, we're already beginning to see it now, what typically happens, we move into June and July, we see drought. A plant that has more rhizomes and stolons and root depth is going to be more drought tolerant than one which does not have all of that. So our philosophy is, if we go with a higher phosphorus product at that time of year, during this or coming out of transition on the backside of transition, if we do that, then we're replenishing that plant so that we can get good root set prior to the heat of summer and drought. Make sense?
Yes.
Kind of a simple plan. So to kind of summarize and follow up briefly on, you know, we started about talking about pre-emergent, our soil temperatures, where we are. We feel like if you're in the upstate, you have this weekend to put a pre-emergent out. If you're in the Midlands, don't neglect it, because it's not a magical date or temperature, and when that temperature hits this degree or when this date happens, all crabgrass is going to germinate that day. It's over a period of time, right? We're very early in that process, so it's still worthwhile to get the pre-emergent out. Okay, you may have missed some earlier, but you're still going to get a lot of control on the back end. We want you to get the pre-emergent out, but here very quickly, in about 2 weeks, it's going to be time to fertilize that lawn for the first time. The first true fertilizer it gets for this growing season. And we recommend the 16, 25, 12, right?
We do.
Now, Scott, we talked about the pre-emergent. You said that's a big question. We got a few minutes before the bottom of the hour break. What about the post-emergent weeds?
You're fielding a lot of questions on that. Henbit, chickweed.
Henbit, chickweed, purple dead nettle.
Purple dead nettle. It's in the mint family.
Yeah, so is henbit. You know how I know?
Square stem.
See? Roll it between.
Roll
it between your thumb and your index finger, man. You can feel it for yourself.
I am going to my grave with that.
It is a square stem, right? Mm-hmm. So we have these weeds that are present in these lawns right now. The other one, the grassy weed you see right now, more than likely, is annual bluegrass. All of these are beginning, in my mind, they're beginning to bolt. They're beginning to grow vigorously because they know they're annuals. They come from grass seeds. They know that their life cycle is nearly over, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at this time of the year, what do you do? I mean, they're hardened off. they're a little stemmier, a little bit thicker stem, a little bit harder to control. I mean,
cut it, take some thatch off your grass.
No,
fresh haircut.
You know, is it really worth going out post-emergently at this time of the year
in transition?
You know, and you just mentioned something, that other word, that big word, transition. There are certain lawns like centipede. We dare not think about spraying any type of herbicide on a centipede lawn during transition. Transition is a very difficult time of year for something like centipede, even for St. Augustine, but certainly for centipede. So I think we're at that point where we're almost like, you know, hey, maybe you just wait, be patient, keep it mowed like you said, drop the mowing height a bit maybe, clean the lawn up, and let's kind of forget about these weeds, because as we approach 80, sustained 80, 85-degree soil temps, these weeds are going to disappear very, very quickly, okay? So I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence. You know, to me, it's kind of hard, because even if we went out with a post-emergent herbicide, Scott, as hardened off as these weeds are, they're reaching the end of their life cycle, they're going to be a little harder to control. It's going to take a little longer. So by the time the active ingredient, the chemical, works, I'm not really certain, you know, is Mother Nature going to take it out? So when we come back from the bottom of the hour break, Scott, maybe we can talk a little bit more about that, perhaps get into some sod, some things of that nature, right? Mm-hmm. Mulch, hardscapes, all kind of good things we can talk about, right?
Yes.
You've been tuned in to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. We're very easy to find during the week. You can visit us at www.carolinafreshfarms.com. There you will find a link to all of our retail locations. 7, I may remind you, Scott, now that the Somerville location
is
open. You will find a link to all of our locations, our hours, email, all of that good jazz. Folks, we appreciate you tuning in. Please stay tuned for the next half of the show. Welcome back to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'm one of your hosts today, Mills Grant.
And I'm Scott Beard.
Oh, Scott. Sounds like you found a little energy drink in the bottom half of the show. Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Did
you? Well, because I got covered in tape. So.
Well, you know, figured it'd give you something to do.
I'm done now.
You're done now?
I got all the tape off.
Yeah. Hey, nice shirt, by the way.
You like that?
I like that. Sporting
a little garnet.
A little bit of orange there. Sporting our company logo. Most importantly, the American flag. I like that. Oh, and the state flag.
And the state flag.
For the great state of South Carolina. Scott, you know, it's a delight to be back. The second half of the show, first half of the show, little recap. What were we talking about? Kind of the weather.
Weather.
Coastal South Carolina, certainly looking at drought conditions, abnormally dry conditions. We talked about that and the impact as it begins to progress. If we don't see significant rainfall, the potential problems we could have during transition. As well as, let's see, we talked a little bit about soil temps and pre-emergent. I think we hashed that out pretty good, that if you're in upstate South Carolina, you got this weekend to get pre-emergent out if you're using Predomine. If you're in the Midlands or you procrastinate two more days in the upstate, then you need to switch to Dimension because it has a little bit of post-emergent capability, right?
Mm-hmm.
We also talked a little bit about, well, what do we do with these weeds that are currently in our lawn? Because that has been an issue, especially with the amount of rain. You know, a lot of folks are like, well, I put my pre-emergent out. Well, yes, I understand that. But as we said in the first half, certain portions, especially in the upstate, since November the 1st to now have had over 30 inches of rain. I mean, nearly 3 foot of rainfall. Think about that. Since November, when you put your pre-emergent out. So what do you think happened to the pre-emergent?
Didn't last as long.
That's right. Didn't last as long. So poannual, annual bluegrass has been an issue, henbit, chickweed, purple dead nettle.
With that much rainfall, how much do you think would it dissipate the barrier on a soil profile?
A lot, especially now. Well, I say that.
I was going to say compared to sandy sandy soil compared to.
That's the big key right there. If you're in section of South Carolina that has a sandy or sandy loam, it's certainly going to have more impact on that product hanging around or washing that product, leaching it through, it's going to leach through a lot faster than, say, somewhere in Pickens, Oconee, Greenville, Spartanburg County, where you're predominantly, if not all, heavy red clay soils. But even in the heavy red clay soils, that amount of rain, I mean, you know, you
three
hear,
feet, I mean, is
that's a lot of rain.
That's a lot of rain.
That is a lot of rain. I mean, that's more rain in the last 4 or 5 months. That's more rain than a lot of this country sees annually.
More than California sees.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
20-something inches?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it did have, I'm not going to say it is going to have, it did have, we have seen it, it had a negative impact.
Oh, it did.
On the time that the pre-emergent was around to control weeds.
And not just on pre-emergent, consumers and homeowners growing a fescue lawn.
Oh, a huge problem in my personal front lawn, which is fescue bluegrass.
Right.
I mean, huge issues there. So there's no doubt that it has had a negative impact on a lot of our landscape. But, you know, we get back, we talk about these weeds, and bottom of the hour break, we said, you know, hey, what do you do? We got some weeds currently in the lawn. We know those weeds that are there today, more than likely, are annuals left over. They're winter annuals. So they germinate in the fall through the winter, and this is the time of year, early spring, when they go to seed, they bolt, they look so pretty if it's not in your front yard. You know, you ever see a field of henbit in full bloom in March? I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous, right? Not so pretty in your front lawn.
Not lavender.
Yeah. So what do you do? I mean, I'm to the point now where it's mow them, tolerate them, give it 3, 4, 5 weeks, they should be out of the way. I think it's more important now that consumers or the homeowner prepare themselves for the summer annuals, get the pre-emergent out, whether it's Barricade, whether it's Dimension, let's get it done, and get the lawn fertilized in a few weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that in talking about these weeds, and I made a little note, you and I talked a little bit yesterday about mowing heights. You had mentioned those weeds, mowing them down a little bit lower than,
I did mine last Friday.
Than normal. And I said, well, you know, Scott, a good topic for us to discuss is, you know, what should my mowing height be right now? We're in transition. Mm-hmm. These warm season lawns are beginning to wake up. Now, even the cool season lawns are beginning to grow and fill out. I mean, mine did not get off to a good start with all the rain and cloud cover. And, man, it has come to life in the last couple, 3 weeks.
The sun, yes.
If you have a fescue bluegrass lawn like
it
I
is
do,
growing a condition.
This is fescue weather, okay? And it is growing, without a doubt. Your own turf plots, you admitted at your store, you have really neglected those over the last 3 years. And don't do much to them. And
there's not a weed in there. And I sling pre-emergent out there. I mean, we're just busy. I mean, I mow it once a week.
Yeah.
And then just it's
But you really haven't
sun.
Done much as fertilizer through the winter. And because of the weather conditions right now, they're growing. But these warm season lawns, and even some of the cool, this is the time of year. If let's say you want to maintain, you know, one of the big complaints we get in the summer, I have Bermuda, I mow it once a week, and it looks white. Okay, we know that's because you probably have that mowing height approaching 3 inches, mm-hmm. right? And you've mowed it at 3 inches for the last 14 years, and that's all you ever mowed it at. So you have elevated a canopy to that top quarter inch, half inch of the grass. Mm-hmm. So every time you mow, guess what? You're mowing all the leaves off. Leaves are green. What color are Bermuda grass stems?
Brown.
Brown, tan,
white. Yeah.
They're not green. We know that, right? So if you want to avoid that this winter or this summer.
Now's a great time to start.
If you're going to mow your Bermuda lawn, let's say at 2 inches, now is a good time that we're kind of past. We're not really past that last frost date, but chances are it's not going to be a severe hard freeze. Now that grass is beginning to green a little bit, now's a good time to go in, drop the mowing height. If you know you want to maintain at 2 inches, your warm season grass this summer, why not drop it to an inch? Now, be aware, we don't want to scalp it. Okay, that's not what we're after. But if your lawn's level enough, why don't we go ahead and drop that to an inch and a half, if not an inch? Well, I mean, what say you? What did you do with yours?
I took mine a half inch, dropped it down another half inch, and then tomorrow I'm going to take it down another half, and then I'll be at 2 inches.
And then you're going to maintain it at what through the summer?
1 3/4, 2 inches.
Okay.
So is my goal.
Is your goal. So let's say you want to maintain it 2 inches. I think you need to start at 1.5 inches, a half inch below. Keep maintaining it at 1/2 inch below. We get into June, it's fully greened up, flushed out, right? We're still maintaining it at 1.5 inches. But when we start hitting that stride in July, maybe you bump it up 1 notch, go up 1/10, go up 1/4 inch, somewhere in that neighborhood. You know, 2 or 3 weeks later, you may want to go up a little bit more. If you do this, you're going to have a better looking lawn with less thatch, and you're going to avoid cutting into the stem tissue. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a good plan?
Yeah.
You're going to follow it?
What?
You're going to follow it?
We'll see. Depends what time I get home.
You know, they make LED headlamps for lawnmowers.
See,
now.
That's not going to happen.
Oh, you can't go mow the grass in the dark?
No.
We'll get up early in the morning. It's good exercise.
See, now that's not going to happen. I get all the exercise I need. I am fine. But it's pretty cool. I mean, you go from fall then to winter, right in transition, and how brown and yellowish the tips of the blades are. But once you start dropping that deck level down and you get that fresh haircut, you would not believe how much green is underneath there.
There's a fair amount.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting, too? You go out, you know, a lot of my time now, especially this time of year, spent on golf courses. Not playing. Okay, my golf game's not real good any longer. Why? You're laughing.
No.
But a lot of my time is spent on golf courses. Okay? Mm-hmm. Because we do so much business with golf course renovations, this mm-hmm. is the time of year that a lot of plans were made over the winter, okay, which we kind of preach a good bit here on this show, is in the winter months, make plans. Spring is the time of year that you're trying to transition, get through that spring transition, and by early summer, because it's the most active growing season for all these grasses, that's when the renovations happen, is the early part, end of spring, early part of summer. But you go to a golf course right now, the roughs are maintained at about 2 inches. They're still brown. The fairway mowed at 1/2 inch or 0.600. They're green. They're about 40-50% green right now. Now, it's about the ugliest time of the year, in my opinion, as grass transitions. I mean, nothing's pretty about a Bermuda lawn transitioning or a Zoysian lawn, right?
I don't know.
Kind of half brown, half green. Not real pretty.
It means it's getting close.
But if you drop that mowing height a little bit right now, you're probably going to see a little bit more activity on your transition, possibly a little bit faster transition, okay? But err with a little bit of caution. Let's not go in and mow to the crown of the plant. We're not saying drop your mower and mow it to the dirt. Don't cut down to the crown of the plant, things of that nature, okay? But now's a good time to do it. Clean up all that chaff. Get the lawn ready. You know, certainly this is something you'd want to do before the second week of April because that's when you want to fertilize these warm season lawns. So clean that up. Get it fertilized. You should be in good order. You know, Scott, we're talking a little bit about what's kind of going on. What are the calls? What are people calling about? The other thing that I've seen a lot of increased activity on right now is sod sales. We can almost tell, you know, someone could take us away, put us on an island for 3 years. We have no idea what month it is when we come back, but you put us in a store. I can almost tell you what month it is based on sod sales. So what's the activity on sod been like for the last week?
It's wide open.
That's right. So the big other question we get this time of year, when's the best time to put sod in? It's a loaded question, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Beginning of the growing season.
You asked me, the best time is when that grass is actively growing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right now we're in the midst of transition. It's beginning to grow, but it's not what I would call actively growing, right? So certain grasses can tolerate it better than others.
It is tender.
But, you know, you take like Bermuda. This time of the year brings some challenges in sod production of harvesting Bermuda. Now, I'm proud to say our Bermuda has looked very well for transitional Bermuda. Now, it's not July Bermuda. We can't take a roller or a slab and sling it halfway across the lawn and expect it to stay together. It's a little tender because it's in transition, right? Centipede, on the other hand, I'd wait. It's still a little bit early.
Fair warning. Exactly.
It's not the fact the grass isn't going to root and survive. You're going to have to tend to it longer before it begins to root and survive because the soil temperatures aren't warm enough. Mm. You're also going to have to contend with some weak grass. It's centipede. Okay? Centipede doesn't have – it's not as stolen – it's more stoloniferous than it is rhizomous. Wow, I'm impressed. That's two big words I
that
said.
Was two
I didn't
big
stumble
words.
Too bad either, did I? Right?
That's right?
So we have a lot of stolons with centipede. Same with St. Augustine. We don't have as many rhizomes. All right, the rhizome's that underground storage unit. That's what helps the Bermuda hold together. That's why zoysia, even in the dead of dormancy in January,
is tough.
Zoysia cuts as good in January or harvest as well in January as it does in July because it is majority of it is rhizomes, and rhizomes knit together, and it is a thick, thick, thick mat underneath the soil profile, right? Mm-hmm. We harvest that rhizome mat. That's what we sell you, right? We can try our best to harvest and sell you rhizomes and centipede, but we can't do it, folks. I have to be honest. There are no rhizomes there for me to harvest and sell you, okay? So we're banking on the stolons having enough tensile strength to hold the grass together. This time of the year, the stolons are giving up all their energy to grow the grass back, to let it transition. So guess what happens? It has a tendency to be weak, falling apart. You know, so when's the best time of year to lay grass? When it is the healthiest it can be. When it can root the fastest. When is that? When the soil temperatures get above 65, 70 degrees. We got several weeks for that. Mm-hmm. That is the best time. Now, is it appropriate to lay sod this time of the year? You betcha. Okay? It's probably more appropriate right now than it is in January if you got a centipede lawn. But when is the best time? I still go back to when the soil temperatures get warmer. The grass is fully transitioned at our farm. That's when we can harvest the best quality product. That's when you're going to receive the best quality product. And that's when you're going to have the fastest rooting product available. You put grass out this time of the year, you're going to have to water it a little more frequently and keep up with the water and tend to it more because you don't have roots. And it's not going to root for several weeks. It's going to be slower to root, right?
And keep this in mind also, it is our busy season just kicked in. So when you call and order the grass, please plan ahead. You know, if you're looking 3 or 4 weeks down the road, call and get on the books. Because, right, I mean, we're running anywhere from 10 to 14 days lead time.
Yeah, and any of our retail locations
it's wide open.
Now, that doesn't mean don't call us. If something comes up, you forgot, call us, but don't get a little bit frustrated if we say, hey, it's going to be 6 days before we have availability on a truck.
Right.
We're limited by the resources.
Yeah. And customers do plan ahead, and then all of a sudden we'll call the day before, and, oh, no, I need to move that back.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's always people that do cancel.
Well, you know, dealing with our landscape contractors, dealing with our land or our golf course superintendents out there, what do we tell them? It's far easier for us to postpone a truck for a day or two than you to call me on Thursday and expect grass Friday morning.
Right.
So, yeah, good tip. Great tip, Scott, as we kind of kick off
the
season.
We can do that in December and January.
Oh, we want to.
Yeah, 24 hours. But, yeah, now.
Yeah, don't get frustrated.
Yeah,
just plan ahead. Call, be patient. We will get to you as quickly as possible. And then you always get the 3-4 days of rain in a row that really throw you for a loop, right?
Yeah, that's not an email or text message I like.
Or to go to work at 6 a.m. and have to
start calling everybody. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
You know, it's almost like you're going on vacation. All of a sudden you go on vacation, and the whole week you're on vacation, it rains.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't get my money back on my vacation rental.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's Mother Nature. She always wins.
And I guess the other big question that we begin to get this time of the year, too, Scott, you know, outside of maintenance questions. We're talking about somebody working in the lawn and the landscape. You know, the big question is, when's the best time to put in sod? The next question that follows is, what kind of sod should I put in my yard? Well, I don't know, is my question. So we ask a few questions, right,
mm-hmm.
of the customer. Shade versus sun. You know, where do you live, what city first and foremost? Because that tells me a little bit about your soil profile, right? How much shade, how much sun? What do you expect out of the lawn? Chances are there are three or four varieties that any given homeowner can grow in their yard.
Right.
Okay? But you got to choose what you think is going to be best for you long term. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I would.
So to give a quick rundown, I thought it may be fun, is what's the biggest concern people have or selecting a grass? What are they really looking for?
Maintenance.
Maintenance, but mm-hmm. what else? About their environment. What grows where? In the shade. Okay.
Well, kind of. But here, the past 2 months, the biggest question is, what grows down here?
What
Which
grows
automatically
down?
Tells yeah. me, you just moved here.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and, but yeah, what's the biggest thing is, what does grow in shade?
You know, probably the biggest asked question is, hey, I've got shade in my yard. Mm-hmm. What kind of grass can I grow? I mean, I think it's worth giving a quick rundown. We've got a few minutes of each one of these varieties of what we grow. And we can talk about specific varieties, but let's look at it generally. The most shade tolerant we probably have at this point, I would say, St. Augustine. Okay? But St. Augustine is not the perfect grass if you live in the upstate. Probably want to avoid it because of the winter injury, right? Mm-hmm. St. Augustine can have some other issues, a little bit higher disease issue. As a matter of fact, you know, one thing we forgot to mention early in the show, now's about that time for St. Augustine, Zoysia, possibly centipede, to do a little bit of fungicide to clean up any large patch because there was a lot of it this past fall and winter, the amount of rain we had last fall. But St. Augustine, one of the most shade-tolerant warm seasons, probably the most shade-tolerant we have. Then I'd go into the Zoysias. Keep in mind, there's two types of Zoysias out there. We have Matrella and we have Japonica. Okay, we're talking about species now. Mm-hmm. So Zoysia being the genus, Matrella, Japonica are species. Matrella is the fine bladed Zoysia. It's like the old emerald. The royal Zoysia or Cavalier Zoysia or Matrellas, they're going to be more shade tolerant or diamond Zoysia. Mm-hmm. Those three, those Matrellas are more shade tolerant than Japonicas. The Japonica varieties that we have available are Palisades and Chisholm. And Chisholm. I know, still sounds a little weird.
Which is wide blades.
For the Chisholm Trail, okay? Mm-hmm. Both of those are the coarser texture, the wider blades. They're more aggressive in growth. They're not going to be quite as shade tolerant as the Matrellas, but they'll still tolerate some shade. Then beyond the Zoysias, now we go into probably, what would you say, centipede next?
Yeah.
You know, and we're only talking warm season here.
Mm-hmm.
We go to centipede, and then Bermuda being our least shade tolerant. I'm beginning to think centipede might be as shade intolerant as Bermuda at this point. you know, we really need more sun for those, right? Mm-hmm. And then people want to ask about drought tolerance. And I would like to say this. There's some other varieties out there that have come on the market, one in particular in the last couple of years, that, oh, drought-tolerant Bermuda. Well, you know, really, if you want drought tolerance, yeah, that might be a little bit better than some other Bermudas out there, but if you really want a drought-tolerant grass, we kind of drop back and punt and we go to Palisade Zoysia or Chisholm Zoysia. Those have been proven over the years to be so much more drought-tolerant, okay, than a Bermuda. The problem with hybrid Bermudas, you know, the old Arizona Common was fairly drought. I hate to say, I guess you could say tolerant. It's going to brown. Anything's going to brown out without water, right?
Oh, yes.
The way we judge it is drought recovery. The Palisade Zoysia, to this day, I have yet to see a grass that recovers as well and as quickly as Palisade Zoysia. It is absolutely phenomenal how quickly and how well it recovers from drought. So when people say, hey, I want something drought tolerant, we normally don't even talk about Bermudas per se. We talk more about the Zoysias because they seem to have proven that over the years, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
So, Scott, we got a few minutes left. It's kind of going by quick.
It did go by fast.
A lot of information. A lot of recaps, man. So what do we got to do this week? Be patient on our current weed status.
Yeah.
Unless you just really want to spray them. We're happy to sell you something. Don't know if it's necessary, but we're happy to sell it.
See, and that's the biggest thing. That's what a guy came in the other day. He said, explained that exact same thing to him. He turned around and shook my hand. He's like, man, you're really not here just to sell stuff. I was like, no, I just want you to do what's right.
We want you to do what's right. We want you to be successful, yeah. And we want you to be happy. Yeah. That's the name of the game. When you deal with Carolina Fresh, it's about customer satisfaction. We want you to be happy. wants you to improve your landscape, right? Mm-hmm. Some things we, you know, we also touched on was the pre-emergent. You know, I think we've said that enough that if you're in the upstate, you got this weekend to get it out before you need to switch to something like Dimension. Our stores and associates there at the stores should be able to help you with that decision in the coming weeks. You know, make certain that you're beginning to kind of grease the wheels, I guess you'd say, on the irrigation systems. Get them ready to go. Be aware that we are getting drier. Don't be fooled by it because the temperatures are nice, right? Mm-hmm. A little bit cooler at nights, warmer during the day. Think it's beautiful weather, but yet the landscape's beginning to dry down fairly rapidly. So make certain. I know a lot of you hadn't used the irrigation system much in the last 4 months.
Turn it on, run it real quick, check the heads.
That's right. Get your lawn mowed down. Be prepared to get that fertilizer out in about 2 weeks. That's going to be the time to do it. So it's been an absolute delight this morning to talk to you. Brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. You've been tuned into the Yard Pro Show. Certainly during the week, we'd love for you to seek us out, find us. If you have questions, it's very simple. You can find us at www.carolinafreshfarms.com. There you will find a link to all six of our retail locations, email addresses, times and hours we're open, all of that good jazz. Folks, we hope you have an absolutely wonderful week of gardening, and we'll talk to you next week.